Many of my hunting buddies and me, in addition to hunting and fishing every chance we get, well, many of us are also movie fans, and it's not uncommon for favorite quotes from movies to be uttered in a relevant way during the course of a hunting or fishing trip. One of my all-time favorites that I find to be readily usable so very often, and maybe this shows both the elementary teacher in me as well as speaking to the competence of some of my outings, is from the first Madagascar movie. You know, the animals trying to make it to the wild. The scene where the penguins have arrived at the South Pole with the ship they hijacked. I laugh at that every time. If you haven't seen it, they've been trying to get there for years. They are finally there. There's a tremendous storm raging about them as they stand on the ice in front of the ship. After several unspoken moments, the leader finally says, "Well, this sucks." Think of the times a line like that has application. Your fishing rod breaks. The foot of your jet stops because of gravel with the storm approaching. The moose you just shot runs out into a pond and falls over. The outdoors can be littered with so many, "Well, this sucks" moments. Quotes such as that can come from movies, but they don't have to. Some quotes come from songs or famous works of literature. Others are historical in nature, uttered by those who helped to shape history, and I've not been shy about using a quote here or there as it pertains to this or that topic. Today, I'd like to take a look at one very specific historical quote, one that had its initial point of significance just yesterday, some 76 years ago. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Actually, the quote itself happened 76 years ago today, the event of which prompted the quote having happened 76 years ago yesterday. I'm talking about the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor and the President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speech to Congress and the American people the following day. On this day, President Roosevelt gave a very precise speech that lasted less than 8 minutes. The famous quote part of that speech was a portion of the first line when he said, "A date that will live in infamy." Here's that entire first line. "Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan." Again, it was a short speech, but seldom has a speech had an impact on the magnitude that Roosevelt's did on both American politics and the American consciousness. 33 minutes after the last word was said, just a half hour, Congress declared war on Japan with only one representative voting against that declaration. That speech was broadcast live by radio, which is how we can listen to it now, and attracted the largest audience in U.S. radio history, with over 80% of all homes in America, consider that if you will, tuning in to listen. The response from all, Congress and the American people, was positive and of near unanimous support. While I honestly can't wrap my mind around people not knowing what happened, in the event that is the case, or if there's a bit of cobwebby for some, let me backtrack just a bit. Pearl Harbor is and was a U.S. naval base near Honolulu, Hawaii, back then, before Hawaii was a state, and was the scene of a devastating and brutal surprise attack by Japanese forces on U.S. forces stationed there on December 7, 1941. Just before 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, hundreds upon hundreds of Japanese fighter planes descended on an unsuspecting and unprepared base. It was very much a sucker punch of the highest order. They managed to destroy or damage nearly 20 American naval vessels stationed there, including 8 battleships and over 300 airplanes. More than 2,400 Americans died in the attack, including soldiers and civilians, and another 1,000 people were wounded. This led to Roosevelt's speech the following day, and his line about infamy everybody kinda sorta remembers today. Japan and the U.S. weren't exactly best buds at the time anyway. The attack was an utter surprise, yes, but feelings had been somewhere between hostile and bitter for a while. The U.S. was unhappy with Japan's belligerence towards China, then a U.S. ally. Japan actually was trying to take over a part of the Chinese mainland as a way to expand, and China and Japan declared war against each other in 1937. Our initial response to this hostility was to come down on Japan with a battery of economic sanctions and trade embargoes. The thinking was that if Japan couldn't get critical supplies, they'd have to back down. Instead, it had the effect of causing them to dig in their heels. Pearl Harbor changed everything. World War had started 2 years earlier, in 1939, with Germany attempting to march all over and conquer most of Europe and parts of Africa. Japan was a German ally. The Pearl Harbor attack brought the United States into World War II. Until Pearl Harbor, the U.S. had hesitated to join the conflict. Instead, we chose, for those 2+ years, to, in as much as possible, provide aid to England, virtually the sole source of resistance to German aggression. Public sentiment in the United States then was very much not in favor of actual fighting. We were just coming out of the Great Depression, and a lot of the loss of life from World War I was still very fresh in the minds of many Americans. In a single day, and with a single event, Japan completely reversed that sentiment for an entire country, and as a stance for the United States. At this point, you might think, what does this have to do with Togiak Refuge, the Bristol Bay region, or any kind of outdoor activity? Well, I could fall back on the very simple but very obvious tie to our freedoms as Americans, the battles that have been fought for those freedoms, and the fact that those hard-fought freedoms allow us to get outdoors and live the sort of lifestyle we have and desire. I've done that a time or two before, and now that I've said it, well, I guess I've done it again. How's that for subtle? But no, let's go ahead and make another tie. Hunting and fishing were activities that were a lot more prominent across our country, which was still very rural in so many places, in the middle of the last century. A good many soldiers who served likely enjoyed both of those activities in their normal lives outside their lives in the armed services. I did an online search and chose one such gentleman to use as an example, a Pearl Harbor survivor from Washington State who passed away last year at the age of 96. The information about him is from an obituary last year in a Washington paper. Walter Bailey was born and raised near Marysville, Washington. He led an active outdoor lifestyle his entire life and loved to hike and fish. Prior to World War II, as a young man during the Great Depression, he joined the Civilian Conservation Corps. He spent 2 years cutting trails, building shelters, and fighting fires in the Cascade Range. His pay was $30 a month, a full 20 of which he sent home to his parents. Bailey signed up for the Army. In 1941, while serving in Hawaii, Bailey was a private, tending the flower beds outside his barracks, close to Pearl Harbor, when the Japanese attacked that December 7th morning. He grabbed his rifle and fired at Japanese planes as they flew over. After Pearl Harbor, he spent much of World War II in Hawaii, first training German shepherds as guard dogs, and then operating searchlight and radar equipment. In 1944, his unit was sent to Leyte Island in the Philippines as a part of an effort to liberate the islands from the Japanese. While there, he contracted dengue fever and was shipped out. Shortly after he shipped out, during a Japanese attack, members of his unit were bayoneted in their sleep. After the war, Bailey did what many do. He moved home, got married, got a job, and raised a family. One of the great joys in his life was spending time in the Cascade Mountains with his 3 sons, hiking and fishing. His remaining years were spent living with family, close to not only his kids but grandchildren and great-grandchildren as well. He fought at Pearl Harbor, and he fought for pretty much all of World War II, and a large part of what he fought for was his country, but also those things he cherished about his country, such as the many things he loved to do outdoors. He stayed active in the outdoors his entire life. A favorite gun author of mine, David Petzl of Field & Stream, once wrote an article about those who served in World War II, and a part of what he said in that article goes as follows. We went into World War II with no enthusiasm. We had gotten a good idea of what modern war was like a generation earlier, and had very few illusions about why we were fighting now. If there had been a motto that summed up popular feeling, it would have been, "Let's get this damn thing over with." Never before, and certainly never since, had America been so united. There were draft dodgers and war profiteers, to be sure, but the overwhelming mass of our 132 million people sent their sons and daughters off proudly, worked long hours, did without, gave blood, collected fat and scrap metal, bought bonds, and backed our government and our armed forces to the hilt. World War II dominated every phase of American life, and it dominated the pages of Field & Stream. You could no longer buy sporting goods of any type. everything everyone made was dedicated, one way or another, to winning the war. To sum things up, yesterday was the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. That attack got the U.S. into World War II. Today is the anniversary of President Roosevelt's speech, for which he was famous for calling the date one which would live in infamy. And it has. You've heard me say it before. I'll likely say it again. Enjoy your freedoms. Get outside and enjoy what we have. And remember that a high price has been paid for those freedoms a great many times throughout our history. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.